you've had a good day.
Had a good day.
Our Father, we thank you for the privilege to call you our Father, and to thank you, Lord, that you know about your children. God, you know what we need here tonight. There's a host of people, and God, I can't figure it out. Don't want to try, but Lord, you know exactly what each one of us need.
That's right.
Now, Lord, if you'll suit a blessing to every heart, God, I want to praise you and thank you right now, God, for what you're going to do. Bless your servant. Use him, God. Give him strength. Lord, give him the wisdom he needs. And then if there's a soul in here that don't know you, Lord, or dying and going to hell, God, please convict them mightily.
Do it, Lord.
Lord, in such a mighty way, they won't be able to wait till an invitation's given and save them before it's too late. In Jesus' name,
amen.
God bless you, dear brother.
Thank you, sir. Psalm 63, again in the Word of God, if you would please, Psalm 63. I have just a little bit that I want to say from verse 1. I wasn't quite satisfied last night as we left. Two verbs I need to discuss. And the bulk of tonight's time will be in verse 2 of Psalm 63. That leaves a number of verses to be discussed. And the Lord willing, we'll work on those probably about two verses a time now, starting tomorrow night and the nights that follow. I am impressed with Psalm 63. I believe Psalm 63 alone, with the breath of the Holy Ghost on it, could revive many a heart. And, thank you for reading the psalm 405 times so far. We counted last night. I believe I said if you'd read it five times, I'd give you that little booklet we got. A lot of you availed yourself of that opportunity. I got some more books over there. Be glad to give you one tonight if you've reached your five times through the psalm. God's Word is a powerful, powerful tool for spiritual growth. David is in the wilderness as he writes it. He's running. It's bad enough, but he's running from his own son. Absalom has rebelled against his daddy and would kill him in a heartbeat to assume the throne of Israel. And that is why Psalm 63 is worded as it is. May I read it to you? Yes. Psalm 63. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land, desert, where no water is. To see thy power, tonight's meditation, to see thy power and thy glory. So as I, he's seen it before, so as I have seen it in the sanctuary. And then tomorrow night's text, God willing, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. You know what he just said? He just said if God's been good to you, you ought to praise him for it. Verse 4. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I'll lift up my hands in thy name. My soul, early will I seek thee. Verse 1, at sunrise. Now, verse 5, my soul will be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. My mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips when I remember thee, not at sunrise, upon my bed. Nighttime now, he's gone to sleep. He's not sleeping in the royal bedroom. under a tree, probably an armed guard or two around him. Severe danger. But he's going to keep God in mind. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate. I can't wait till we get to that verb. And meditate on thee in the night watches. There's something better to do at night than watch the late show. Meditating on him in the night watches. Verse 7. Because thou hast been my help. Can anybody here testify he has been your help? Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. I can't preach it. I don't want to get ahead of myself either. But that's a mighty good place to be, in the shadow of his wings. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. Running from danger. But in the last three verses 9 and 10 and 11, he mentions the peril in which he is. Those that seek my soul to destroy it. Those that are trying to kill King David, they shall go down into the lower parts of the earth. I just want you to notice he's claiming victory in the battle. I want you to notice he's claiming victory before the victory comes in the battle. Which makes me want to say real quick, we are on the winning side. Verse 10, they shall fall by the sword, the enemies. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by God shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies. Been a lot of lies told about David. The mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. I preached Titus 2 weeks ago, had a little Titus book. Paul left Titus in a very difficult place of service, Crete. Bad reputation, wicked people. And he said, son, I want you to preach the word of God there. And he says, there's some mouths in that church. There's some mouths in that community. I'll need an amen. That need to be stopped. There's some mouths in other Baptist churches that need to be stopped, if you want to know the truth. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Back to verse 1. Here's what interests me tonight. My flesh longeth for thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. He takes the two parts of human existence, his soul and his flesh, and he makes both hungry for God. My soul, did I get it right? My soul thirsteth for thee. I want to talk to you a little bit about your soul. Listen to the Hebrew word. It is nephesh. It is spelled N-E-P-H-E-S-H, nephesh. It means, or the root, the verb behind it, it means that which breathes in you. It's the idea of that part of you that is alive. I took the liberty to use my laptop, and I looked up that word nephesh to see how the Holy Ghost used it throughout the Old Testament. And it'll only be in the Old Testament because it's a Hebrew word. Listen, I wrote them down. Nephesh, my soul, 475 times my soul is going to thirst after thee. But listen to this. 29 times it's translated in our King James Bible. That's all I'm going to give. That's all I'm interested in. My person. Not only is my soul, whatever it is, when we define it, thirsting after him, he said, I'll need an amen, my whole person is thirsting. Amen. Everything I got. Amen. Everything I am. 15 times it's translated heart, King James Version. My soul is thirsty for him. Now my heart is thirsty for him. It is translated at times, my mind is thirsty for him. Excuse me. Sounds like he's thirsty for God all over. I don't know. I don't know how to say it. We're not. We're not. I didn't say you're not. I said we're not that thirsty for God. I'm not sure he's the terminal focus of our affections tonight. But David, running, his soul is thirsting after God. I don't know if I'll get back to this, so I might take a minute right now. You as a human being are made up of three entities. It's a better word, but three parts. Brother Bagwell, you think I'm made up of three parts? If the Bible's right, you are made up of three parts. By the way, if you're made up of three parts, that means you are, hope I get an amen, triune. He's made up a triune God. What are my three parts? You know his three parts, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. And they are not distinct, three in one. Here are our three parts. Body. If you're here tonight, I promise you, you got a body. If there's anything here not in a body, I don't even want to know about it right now. Body. Here is the second of our tripartite existence, our soul. My soul thirsteth for thee. Body, soul, and then spirit. Spirit. The spirit is that part of, I'll say if you'll agree, when lost, a man is spiritually dead. Dead. Trespasses and sin. But guess what happened the day I got saved? Hope I get an amen. I got born again. My spirit was regenerated. Hallelujah to God. Body, soul, and spirit. My soul thirsteth for thee. This may take too long, and I'll watch it. Although I'm going to tell you up front, I can't find my timer tonight. Debbie's looking for it now. Won't do any good, but she's looking for it. I don't know where it is. I've been preaching a set amount of time. I'll just have to watch you and see how you're tired, and we'll go from there. Soul. The soul is generally considered as consisting of mind, will, and emotions. Anybody remember that? Mind, will, and emotions. You know what? If that's right, you know what David just said? Lord, my mind is hungry for you. My mind is thirsty for you. I guess that's called a sanctified mind. What do y'all think? A mind that's thirsty for God will probably end up thinking right thoughts. Mind, will, and emotions. I want to talk about our will. What is your will? Terrible word. It is your decider. It is that part of you that makes up your mind what you're going to do. If I'm saved, if I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb, my soul, my will ought to be thirsty after Almighty God, and I ought to want to please Him in every decision I make. Emotions? Surely not my emotions thirsting after an Almighty God. And it's not simply emotions. I'm not saying that. But my love and my joy and my peace and every other element of the emotional aspect, it ought to be hungry for God. My soul thirsteth. By the way, First time, and I want to do a little with that tonight, first time that word soul is used in the Bible, there's a pile of dirt laying on the ground in a garden in Eden, and God Almighty bends over, breathes into that dirt, and Adam becomes a living soul. We got a soul because God breathed that soul in. He said, my soul thirsteth for thee. Just a minute on that verb, thirsteth. It's only used 10 times in the whole Bible, entire Old Testament. My soul thirsteth for thee. And every time it deals with a hankering, a hungering for water. And here it's the water of the Holy Ghost, I'm sure. Here it's the water of the Word. Here it's for God Almighty, who is the living water. All of that is to thirsting for an Almighty God. Everybody here tonight is thirsty for something. Everybody in this building is thirsty for something. Don't believe this. David's in the wilderness. He's running. Oh, my soul thirsteth for you. Oh, God, my God, I am thirsting for thee. First time it's used in the Bible. I saw this preacher and I couldn't make no sense out of it. I thought, Lord, maybe I'm barking up the wrong tree here. First time it's used in the Bible is in Exodus 17:3. This verb thirsting, listen. And the people thirsted. They're in the wilderness. And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured. That means they grumbled against Moses, and they said, you know what they said, why'd you bring us out here? You're going to kill us. We'd better off back in. They thirsted and they grumbled. First time it's used. There's some spiritual truth in there. So they thirsted first time and grumbled. Here's David. If anybody's got a reason to grumble, he's had to abdicate his own throne. He's running from his own boy. It doesn't look like he's got a lot of friends with him. The world is turned against him. And yet David does not grumble one time. His mind is not on his problems. His mind, he is thirsting after his God. We'd all be a lot better off not to grumble as much and to love and crave His company. I got to think, here's David thirsty for God. And I had this thought. Y'all were reasoning with me pretty good. Wonder if God ever got thirsty. David's thirsty for God. Does God ever get thirsty for anything? I found it in Psalm 69. It is a messianic psalm. That means it's a psalm that talks about the Messiah. Let me make a quick announcement. Jesus is the Messiah. You found something in Psalm 69 that's going to talk about Jesus. Listen, and at least let me read a little bit of it. They gave me also gall for my meat. 1,000 years before it happened, it's Jesus dying on the cross, and he got thirsty, and they gave him vinegar with gall to drink. They gave me gall for my meat, and in my thirst, same word, they gave me vinegar to drink. Oh, I ought to be thirsty for God. Hope I get it. He got thirsty for me one day. He is willing to be parched, dying on that old rugged cross to shed his blood to save my soul from hell. It'd be an insult if I were not thirsty for him. Do y'all see? My. Listen to this. I found it in Hosea. And you don't have to turn read. It's Hosea 2:3. Anybody say, God's upset at Israel. She's backslidden on him. She's become unfaithful. She's chasing the gods and goddesses, false lovers, turned her back on her husband. God said, I'll strip her naked. I'll set her like in the day she was born, and I'll make her in the wilderness like she's in the desert, and I'll set her like a dry land, listen, and slay her with thirst. I will slay her with thirst. Thirst can kill you. Thirst unmet. You'll absolutely die a whole lot quicker than you'll starve to death, I might add. And all I'm saying is this, David's thirsty. David's in the desert. It's not a physical thirst, could be said. It's a spiritual thirst. Hallelujah, could I make an announcement? God satisfied that boy's thirst out there. He didn't die from his thirst. I'm going to go out on a limb here. I just feel all kinds of confidence doing it. If you'll get real thirsty for God, He won't let you go away unsatisfied neither. That's true for me. That's true for all of us. Well, that's enough, because that's still in verse 1. My soul thirsteth for thee. Now watch this. My flesh longeth for thee. I hope y'all see what I'm trying to do. Don't even know if I'm doing all that good a job. This man was craving his God in an hour of need, in an hour of danger. I am merely suggesting each of us needs a similar craving for the God who loved us, for the Jesus who died for us, for our provider, for our nourisher. Could I get an amen? So, this whole thing so far. Thirsting. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. He promised it. So we leave that and we go. My page keeps turning in my Bible. We go to that. My flesh longeth for thee. I'm not going to preach about a dry, thirsty land. I did that last night and no water. I did that last night. Preacher Bagwell, how are you going to go about this? My flesh. Listen to the noun. B-A-S-A-R, Basar. That's the Hebrew word. Holy Ghost would have had David to write down. B-A-S-A-R. It means my flesh. It is a clear reference to one's body. First time it's mentioned in the Bible. David's flesh is craving his God. First time that word's mentioned in the Bible. Say in the book of Genesis. It's early in Genesis chapter 2, verse 21. I'm just going to read it. Y'all pick up on it. Y'all are not biblically illiterate here. You know your Bibles. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on who? You know who? Adam. And he slept. And God took one of his ribs and he closed up the flesh thereof. What's God doing opening up Adam's side? What's God doing? Looks sound like he performed an operation on that boy's flesh. I'll tell you what God's doing. Hope I get an amen. He's getting that boy a bride. Amen. My flesh longeth for thee. And I'm glad my flesh, I'm glad my body is like. Can I just tell you something? One of these days I'm going to see him. One of these. I've never seen him yet. I can't tell you how tall he is. I can't swear to you the color of his eyes. I don't know how much he weighs, but I do know this. I'm going to see him, and when I see him, I am going to be like him. I believe I can promise you he will even change this flesh, this vile body, and it'll be fashioned like unto his glorious body. The flesh. I know everybody's seen this, but just in case there's a new Christian here, here's Adam. That's the first Adam. He made a mess. Have y'all heard about the last Adam? He didn't make a mess. The first Adam was in a garden and he lost a battle with the devil. The last Adam was in the desert, in the wilderness, and he won the battle with the devil. But be that as it may, here is Adam, and God calls this deep sleep to fall, opens up his flesh, brings out a rib, creates Eve, the completer, out of Adam's flesh. Amen. The first Adam had a hole ripped in his side, and out of that side flowed blood and water, And out of that side, I assume God's a surgeon. If you open up a human side, there's going to be some blood. And God brought out of that side the makings of Adam's bride. Her name is Eve. She's, I don't know if you're getting it or not. Out of the side of the first Adam came his bride. Now I want to talk about the last Adam a minute. He was hanging on the old rugged cross. There was a soldier with a javelin, with a spear. He tore into my Savior's side. Out flowed blood and water. And guess what? Allah, the bride is born. That's the first time that word flesh is used. Boy, if that word flesh, even typologically, even symbolically, has got to do with my Savior, Him dying on Calvary, me being born again, I'm part of His bride, I say hallelujah for it. I want my flesh to be longing for my Lord. You know, I'm just having some of these thoughts, aren't you? Study all day, just having some of these. I guess if my flesh longed for it, I'd put my body in a chair in a Sunday school classroom in a Bible-believing church about 52 times a year. If my flesh really was craving God, I guess I'd get it, take it down there and hear about 52 Sunday morning sermons a year, about 52 Sunday night sermons a year, about 52 Wednesday night services a year. Y'all ain't go amen, but it's the truth anyway. My flesh longeth for thee. I gave you the first mention of flesh, and I can't do this all night. I'm going to give you the last mention of flesh. It's in the book of Zechariah. It's during the battle of Armageddon. Y'all will help me now. And Jesus is coming again. They look at Him. They declare war against Him. They despise Him. They're going to destroy, they think, every Jew on the face of the earth. And when the Lord comes back, it's in Zechariah 14:12, said, this will be the plague wherewith God will smite that crowd. He'll smite all those people that hate Him and that have fought against Jerusalem. Last mention of it in the Bible, their flesh shall consume away while they stand on the Curtis. Their flesh will melt off their bodies in the glory and the heat of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody told me the other day, they said, that sounds nuclear. That's what happened at Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Men's flesh melted. Their eyeballs liquefied, ran down their skeletons. Where there was a man, there'd be a little yellow powder, a shadow of a man. Boy, that's might. That's power. That's nuclear. But thank God, my Jesus outdoes that in that last. My flesh, longing after an almighty God. Oh, I got to tell you, my flesh longeth for thee. Real quick. Boy, I do miss my timer. Real quick. The verb longeth, get this term, is a hypox legomenon. What in the world's a hypox legomenon? Many of you know, but it is a word that is used once and once only in all a body of literature. Only one time is this word used in the Word of God, in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew Bible. Our King James translators only came across, my flesh longeth for thee. Now the Holy Ghost is generally up to something when He uses a hypox legomenon. Because we take these words and we go other places and see what it means. We get the shades of the man. Here He uses a word and He says there's nothing else like it. You can't compare it. It is absolutely undefinable. Said you need to have in your body, in your flesh, you need to have a longing. You need to have a craving. Hey, does anybody here wish Jesus would come tonight? I think Paul said, it's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, and not just to me, to all those that love His appearing. We're to be longing in our flesh for our dear Savior. You know what I'm afraid? It is my fault. I'm not blaming him. I'm afraid, and it's biblical. Everything I've given you is gun barrel straight. It's accurate grammatically, and I pray theologically. But I'm afraid if we're not careful, it's going to get above our heads. You say, yeah, but that was David, man after God's own heart. Sure, his soul was craving God. Sure, his flesh was thirsty for the Almighty. And Brother Bagwell, it's just me here. I want you to hear me. The same Holy Ghost who was in David is the same Holy Ghost who inhabits you tonight. We need to stop taking, and I'm not against honoring the characters of the Bible. We need to start taking them off the pedestal. They weren't as perfect as we sometimes think they were. David even wasn't. But I'll tell you what, you can be all you can be for God. And I explain it this way sometimes. I have no doubt there's some Christians in this building, and you are what I would call a 55-gallon drum Christian. I mean, you can load her up with 55 gallons of love for Him, hunger for Him, craving Him, longing for Him, and I salute you. God bless you. I just want to tell you this. If you've only got 50 gallons and you can hold 55, you're missing it a little bit, though. And maybe somebody in this building, this is just an arbitrary answer. You may only be a 10-gallon Christian. You say, I don't know, preacher. I have a rough background, and I'm trying to grow in grace, and I'm sure the capacity, but I'm just, hey, if you're a 10-gallon Christian, you need to get 10 gallons of yearning, 10 gallons of love, 10 gallons of craving, and Almighty God, you need to do it to the best of your ability. I guess that's crude, probably not a very good illustration, but it's the truth. That word, I tried. I used lexicons and everything I could. It's not in the Bible. That word for craving, kamah, K-A-M-A-H. Again, it's hypox. They say it means pale of face or weak-eyed. I came in from, I got so I preached Sunday through Wednesday. Usually in a meeting. And so many young preachers are asking now, I'll give them a Thursday and a Friday. In fact, this last week, I gave a boy Thursday after preaching through Wednesday. I gave him a Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And then Deb and I drove to South Carolina for twice Sunday. And then here, I walked in after one of those meetings, and my wife looked at me and she said, you're pale. And your color's not good. I didn't know it. Had no idea of it. But she was a little bit concerned about something was showing. Something was a little bit missing, lacking. Are y'all listening to me? I think you are. My flesh longeth for Him. I want Him so bad. It's affecting me. I gotta have Him so much. Looks like I'm pale in the face. I gotta have Him so bad. It's showing up on me physically. I don't know that's happened lately in America anywhere, but boy, it'd be good if it did happen. I realize in a camp meeting, attendance to some degree is up and down. Burke County, I think, has already been. I think y'all got, to the glory of God, one of the best camp meetings here going anywhere. That's just, I didn't get many amens. It would be bragging on yourself, and it'd be all right if you said amen there. I appreciate the spirit of this meeting. And what I'm saying, or what I'm trying to say is this. Looking at this crowd, there are a few empty places, but there are a very few empty places. Have no idea how many people, saints of God, this building would seat, but I do know this. Somewhere in this crowd, probably there's a hunger for God. There's a craving for an Almighty God. And I want to make an announcement. Hope I get somebody. You can know Him better. Amen. A little help here. You can know Him more. Amen. You can taste his sweetness to a greater degree than you've ever. Oh God, thou art my God. Early I'll be seeking you. My soul is a craving you. My flesh is longing after you. Hallelujah to his goodness. Pale face. If I don't get that time with the Lord God Almighty. Listen to this. I just picked it up this afternoon out of my Psalm 107 verse 8. Oh Lord, I'm craving you. Oh Lord, precisely. Oh Lord, I long it for thee. Psalm 107, 8, I'll read it. Oh, that men would praise God for his goodness, for his wonderful works for the children of men. Listen, for he satisfieth the longing soul. For he satisfieth the longing soul. I'll make you a promise tonight. You won't crave him. You won't beg for him. You won't long spending time in his presence long till he will show up, till he will meet that need. He fills the longing soul. Does that make any sense? It ought to. It's Bible. Found a verse in Psalm 119. Hadn't found a lot in that great chapter to blend with Psalm 63. But listen, the psalmist said this, my soul breaketh. The word, my soul is crushed because of the longing it has for thy word. Because of the longing it has for thy word. Oh, we ought to be hungry for the word of God. Oh, Lord, I'm longing for thee, he said. Just maybe one more verse. It's in the book of Genesis. It's the 34th chapter. It's the 8th verse. It is similar, not the same word. It is a similar. And Hamor communed with them, be Jacob and his sons, saying, listen to this, the soul of my son Shechem longeth for your daughter. I pray you would give her to him for wife. Now that puts this thing in another realm. I want him. I love him. He's dear to me. I'm craving him with all my heart. It's the idea of I love him. I'll need an amen. It's mystical. I'm part of the bride. He is the bridegroom. His Song of Solomon set in a spiritual tone all the way through. Verse 2. What's he craving? What's he longing for? What is it he's thirsting after? Sabbath. To see thy power and thy glory so as I have seen it in the sanctuary. All this commotion. All this commotion. And all he wants to do is to see God. Amen. To see God's power. And to see God's glory. And he's got a pretty good idea of where you're going to see it. Down at the sanctuary. Amen. Amen. Good. To see. It's the verb is ra'ah. Ra'ah. R-A-A-H. It is framed here as a present infinitive. To see thy power and thy glory. It means to see. And then see some more. Let me try it over here. To see his power and glory, and then to see some more. And to see some more. And to see some more. We ought to never get satisfied seeing his power and his glory. Tell you what I did. And the software now lets you do it. Preacher, I just said, find me some present infinitives that fit this context and use this saying, to say thy power and thy glory. Oh, I know, it's Jesus again. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they, I'll need an amen, shall see God. I'm convinced there are folks that sit on our Baptist church pews. God could pass through in glory on a Sunday morning and they wouldn't see a thing.
Well, if he was here, I didn't see him. In fact, I think the preacher's sermons have been a little dull lately. The old boy hadn't been real sharp. Why, you're blind as a bat. It's the pure in heart that are going to see God. And if you're not seeing God, you might not be pure in heart. But I want to see his power and his glory. Here they are real quick. Three infinities, present tense, infinities. In Hebrew, it's called Kal, Q-A-L. Kal, that's the active voice, infinitive. Oh, first time to see. Genesis chapter 2, verse number 19. Let me read it to you. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field. Does anybody here believe God made the animals? Anybody believe he made them out of the ground? Amen. That's what he said right there. Made out of the ground every fowl of the air. And he brought them to Adam. He brought all the animals to Adam. What in the world is Adam going to do? To see, God brought them to Adam to see, there it is, Cal Infinity, to see what Adam would call them, what Adam would name them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Now, why did I use that? Here's a man seeing all the animals so that he can name them. I hope this goes over. I want to see him. I want to see his power. I want to see his glory. And once I've seen his power and once I've seen his glory, I might be able to better name him. I might be better able to catalog him. I already know he's the Alpha and the Omega. I already know he's the Savior of my soul. But there's a lot about him I don't know, and I would be interested in further knowing him and loving him and naming him and cataloging him. It's an impossible task, but I sure would love to try. This whole thing hinges on hunger for an almighty God. Here's the next Cal infinity. Zechariah 2:2 of all places. Then said I, this is in that part of Zechariah where he has all those visions. In the midst of those visions, then said I, Zechariah, where goest thou? It's an angel. Where goest thou? And he said, to measure Jerusalem. I'm going to measure Jerusalem. That's not the old Jerusalem. That's looking toward the new Jerusalem. I'm going to measure Jerusalem to see, there it is, to see what's the breadth thereof and what's the length thereof. I want to see his power. I want to see his glory. Why? To see the length thereof, to see the breadth thereof, to see the height thereof, to see the depth thereof. We got no idea how powerful and glorious he is. I got to see. To see thy power and thy glory. That little old infinity. The first usage and the last usage. First one's in the Garden of Eden. See if you nod. The last one's in the New Jerusalem. Amen. That about covers it all if you don't know the truth. To see thy power and thy glory. To go back a little, I've given you the first and the last. Habakkuk 2:1. Are y'all okay? Amen. Are y'all listening as I read my verses? Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1. This is Habakkuk. Oh, he's troubled. He can't understand why God lets iniquity go on in Judah and God won't judge it. And then God shows up and says, boy, I am going to judge it. Said, I'm going to take these Chaldeans, these Babylonians, and beat the daylights. And he had another fit. He said, you can't do that. Said, they're worse off than the people of Judah. Said, by the way, if God wants to whip you, he'd just soon use a dirty rod as a clean rod to do it. And he's all tore up. Oh, and then he said, I'll tell you what, I can't understand God. I'm going up on my watchtower. I'm going to go up there. I'm going to stand, and I'm going to look. I'll go up on my watch. I'll set me on the tower, and I will watch. Get this. Right, here it comes. I will watch to see what he will say to me. To see what he will say to me. Lord, I'm thirsty for it. I'm hungry for it. I'm pale-faced for it. I got to have it. I'm going to die if it doesn't happen. I want to see your power and your glory. And to see what? To see what he'll say to me. To see what he'll tell. Has anybody in this building, I know the answer, and I'm not asking you to be show anything. Hey, anybody ever been alone with God? Anybody ever been driving up the road and God Almighty showed up in the car with you? Are you out there under the trees praying and begging his hand on your work and on your ministry? And God Almighty, oh, I tell you what, I want to see him. I want to love him. I want to know him. I can't wait to see what he's going to say to me. To see thy power, thy power. I want to talk a few minutes about the power of God. We'll have my timer tomorrow night. And the only way, you see, there ain't no windows here. Maybe I can see through that crack. What I'm leading up to saying, unless they give me a signal back under where they're recording or something. Only thing I got to go by is just how tired you're looking. Or if anybody goes to sleep and that hadn't happened yet. There are two people I think may have passed on while I've been preaching. But other than that, I don't know how to tell the time. Help me and pray for me while I talk about the power of an almighty God. I promise you this, he is a God of power. This is a terrible thing to say. I don't know about the power of God like I wish I did. I'm a beginner. I'm in kindergarten when it comes to the power of God. And I'm going to say this, and I wouldn't hurt anybody's feelings. I'm pretty sure there are no experts here on the power of God. We're all hungry seekers for God's power. To see thy power. And I've heard the old days. I had an uncle who was an evangelist. Three times every summer for the whole month of June, the whole month of July, and the whole month of August, he'd set up a gospel tent and preach in three different cities. Brother Buddy, that gospel tent was 300 feet long and 100 feet wide. It was massive. I have seen it full as a lad growing up night after night after night. Don't ever believe I remember him giving an invitation, but there weren't sinners coming down the aisle squalling their way to Jesus, begging God to save their souls from hell. He preached a sermon one night, all to the glory of God. There's so many, 1,400 people count in the altar. In the altar, dealing with an almighty God. Oh, those days were sweet days. Hadn't heard about that too much lately. But all that don't make me still want to hunger for the power of an almighty God. Never happened but once in my little ministry. And I was just a kid preacher, preaching in the city of Monroe, Georgia. It was a Sunday through a Friday meeting. That's what it was. Just 6 nights. The church I was pastoring, they didn't mind me going that Sunday night. They just tickled their young pastor. And I preached Sunday night. And there's two young folks said God saved them. Preached Monday night. There were three more that got saved. I was absolutely thrilled. And I know, I can't tell you got saved. God's got to work out with, but there was evidence of the truth. Time Friday night came, and I say this to the glory of God, 53 folks said they'd been saved, wanted to be baptized, wanted to follow the Lord. I was preaching about a year ago. A long time ago, I was a kid preacher. I was preaching not long ago. It was a December revival. That pastor called it Christmas revival. About 30 miles from Monroe. There's three, four adults showed up. I didn't know them, and the preacher didn't know them. His visitors came up after the service. They said, Brother Bagwell, you won't remember us. Said we were young folks back when you preached that revival for Brother Charles Forster over there in Monroe. Said we got saved. We just want you to know we stuck. We're still faithful. God did a work of grace in our hearts out of that meeting. Some time ago, had a boy call me. He said, Preacher, you don't know me. Same me. Said, I got saved in that meeting. He said, later, God called me to preach. And he said, I'm busy serving him in a church now. To see thy power. To see that all I'm saying, he can do it. Hallelujah. Boy, that's not the direction that I want to go. The word that is used there for power, listen to this, oz, O-Z, that's all it is, O-Z, oz. They pronounce it O-Z-E, but to me, they mean oz. It is translated, and what would you think? It is translated power 11 times, strength 60 times, might 2 times, boldness 1 time, but here's what interests me. Prevailing 3 times. To prevail 3. It's not only the strength to do it. It means he has done it. He has prevailed. And he is victor. Amen. To prevail. To prevail. I found this interesting. Hardened. He is a God. His power is hard. His power is unmovable. His power is brazen. Thank God he's not going to run out of that power. Power. To see thy power. To see thy power in the sanctuary. This may or may not be of interest to preachers. But I know a man of God. He's in heaven now. But God singularly seemed like blessed his ministry. I heard him say it. He said, I pray hundreds of times a day. Now, this may not be for you. You and God work it out. If it doesn't create an interest, forget I said it. He said, I pray hundreds of times a day. God, I need your power. God, give me your power. God, for your power to be upon my ministry. You say, how would you get that power? Well, I think Acts 1:8 gives us a pretty good start. Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Praying for power. Lord, I want to see. I want to see your power. But oh, I've got to show you something about power. Are y'all okay? In Hebrew, the Hebrew David would write, there are no vowels. Now that's unimaginable to us. If I didn't have vowels, I couldn't talk in English. But Hebrew is a consonantal language. There are no vowels. And O's here, same word. O's is used first time in the Bible in Genesis chapter 15. Now I'm going to give you the first use of the word power. It's not translated power, nor should it be in our King James Bible. But listen to how those wise men. Genesis 15:9, God said unto Abraham, take a heifer of 3 years old and a she-goat. A she-goat. Remember last night, God's name, El Elohim, is a ram, a very strong animal. Take a she-goat. That's O's. That's the word. Take a she-goat, and he said 3 years old, and a ram 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young. What's Abraham going to do with this she-goat? He's going to kill it. He's going to shed its blood. He's going to cut it up. He's going to walk through, and God's going to walk through the covenant relationship. That word strength and power has its genesis in sacrifice, in blood. The greatest demonstration of the power of Almighty God is when Jesus died on the cross to save sinners from hell. Hallelujah. It's overwhelming when you get to looking at these words. Power by means of sacrifice. Oh, have you heard about the gospel of Jesus Christ? Paul's not ashamed of it because it is the power of God unto salvation. Amen. Bless his name. Pastored 40 years, always preached revivals, but a number of years ago, no longer pastored, and there was a missionary. Served in Ivory Coast, Africa. I knew the boy, didn't know him all that well. He called me on the phone. He said, Brother Bagwell, I was up in Michigan preaching. And he said, somehow, and I don't know how, said, I mentioned your name. Get this. He said, a boy came up and said, strange you'd mentioned that name. I was saved under his ministry. He gave me his name, and get this, I don't remember him. I can't place him. 40 years is a long time. Different church. Have no idea. But somewhere, one Sunday morning or one Sunday night, God let me mount the pulpit, open the Bible, and tell folks how to be saved. It might have been a known thing. It might have been an unknown thing. That boy got washed in the blood of the Lamb. And now he is up yonder in Michigan. I don't know nothing about him. He knows very little. You say, preacher, you're supposed to be talking about power. I think I am talking about power. The power of God to save a sinner, change a life, scatter somebody somewhere, and they stay faithful for Jesus' sake. Oh, thank God. That I may say, I want to say thy power. I want to say thy great strength. Oh, there's so much. I'm running out of time to say. Oh, power of God. I found three times it's used this way. You're just going to have to take my word. I'm going to read one of them. I think I'll read Psalm 132, verse 8. It's shorter. Arise, O Lord, into thy rest and the ark of thy strength. Arise, O Lord, into thy rest and the ark of thy strength. Now, all the preachers know this in the Sunday scripture. That ark, that's the ark of the covenant. And you see, on that ark of the covenant, there's an angel here, there's an angel of here, and it's covered with something called the mercy seat. Arise, O Lord, to thy rest. Guess where God rests? Guess where God sits? He's the only one that can do it. I'll need an amen. He sits on the mercy seat. Hallelujah. Arise, O Lord, and the strength of thy ark. The strength of thy ark. You know where God's power, I want to know it. I want to see it. The strength of God's power, it's that old ark of the covenant. It's that old ark with the blood sprinkled on it. It's that old ark comforting Israel through the wilderness. I thank God for his power tonight. Hallelujah. Wow. I want to read one more. Somebody tell me what time it is. On the clock. 8. About 8:30. Psalm 89:10. Let me read it. God, thou hast broken Rahab. Thou hast broken Rahab. The word Rahab doesn't have anything to do with that harlot in Joshua. It's a word that means pride. God has broken pride. God, thou hast broken Rahab in pieces as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong oaths, with thy strong arm. God is a scattering his enemies. Oh, Lord, I want to see your power. Oh, Lord, I'm telling you what, God's got a lot of enemies today, but on the basis of that verse, his might and his power, one of these days are going to scatter those enemies, going to overcome those enemies, going to defeat those enemies. Hallelujah. It may or may not interest you, but there's a prayer Moses prayed every morning when he got up. It's in Numbers chapter 10. I had it written down here. Verse 35 says this. And when the cloud lifted, Shekinah glory, leading them out another day's traveling through the desert, Moses prayed this prayer. Arise, O Lord,
I'll take an amen if anybody gets it. Arise, O Lord, and let thine enemies be scattered. Amen. You know what? Power of God. Arise, O Lord, let that, the power of His arm, let thine enemies be scattered. That wouldn't be a bad prayer to pray every morning when your little boys and little girls go off to school. Moms, that wouldn't be a bad prayer to pray when your husband goes down the driveway going off to his job. That wouldn't be a bad prayer to pray for them boys you're helping and loving. Arise, O Lord, and scatter thine enemies. I hope God will scatter the enemies around here this week. Bring His youngins in here hungry to hear His precious word. I'm glad He's a God of power. Hallelujah. I got to get the glory and get done. That word glory, and I know that, but you know what's fun? Praying to God. Lord, I want to see Your power and glory, and then let Him figure out how to show you His power and glory. I don't know if that makes any sense. I preached a number of times the Jabez prayer, and it got commercialized and abused. Old boy named Jabez prayed, Lord, bless me indeed. Enlarge my coast. Let Your hand be on me for good. Keep me from grief. Keep me from pain, that it grieve me not. I studied that thing up one side and down there, and I thought, what does it mean? And here was the conclusion I reached. I don't know all it means. I really don't care all it means. I think I'm going to haul off and ask God to bless me indeed anyhow. And then I think I'm going to turn around and ask God to put His hand on me for good. I don't know. And to enlarge my coast. I have no idea what it means to enlarge your coast. I'll let God figure it out. I'll pray it and let Him answer. I think I'll say, God, show me Your power. I want to see Your power. I don't know how to define it. I've given you several instances. Let God figure it out. Let God choose what kind of power demonstrates. And your glory, let God show you His glory like He chooses to show you. Wow. Let's get ready to close down the message. And I... glory. And thy glory. Glory. The old country preacher. Well, Charles, you'll have to help me. If I need to hush, you just wave with your hand or something, and I'll pick up on the signal. Because right now, you have no idea how good it's feeling up here. God's given me liberty. Hundreds of hungry hearts looking on. I'm enjoying it, and I dearly appreciate it. Talking about the glory of God. Old country preacher. He didn't know the word was kabod. He had no idea the Greek was doxa. It's beyond him. He'd never had opportunity to go to school. And somebody said, preacher, tell us the glory. Define the glory of God. He said, I'll tell you about glory. He said, if you'll just look at it, said, it'll define itself. Said, look at them first three words. I want to see if you get it. Glow. First three letters. Glow. He said, he didn't know you put a W on the end of glow. G-L-O. He said, that's it. Said, if you ever see God's glory, see if I get in there. Something will get to shining around you. Something will get. I was reading today about when Paul got saved. Does anybody believe Paul saw God's glory the day he got saved? He tells it three times in the book of Acts. That boy won't quit telling about when he got saved and how he got saved. By the way, if God saved us, we ought to tell it a bunch of times too, I might add. First time is in Acts 9, and there's a bright light, and it knocked him to the ground. Second time's in Acts 22, and he describes that bright light, and he said it was absolutely a brilliant light. He added, it's brighter now. And he tells his testimony again in Acts 26, and he said the bright light came, and he said it was brighter than the shining sun, brighter than the noonday sun. More he thought about it, the greater the glory of God became. Hallelujah.
Oh my, He is a glorious God. Lord, I want to see Your glow. I want to see Your glory. I want to, Lord, it just means the word. In view of my lack of time, presumably, I'll read Exodus 33:18. You're going to think Moses and David are first cousins. Listen up. Exodus 33:18, and Moses said, he's talking to God, I beseech thee, I'm going to need an amen, show me thy glory. Show me thy glory. Somebody said, what is the glory of God? And I got more verses I'd love to share, but I'm not. But I will say, here is the glory of God. I'm pretty sure. The sum total of all of God's attributes blended together, and you get His glory. I don't know if I can even come anywhere near preaching that like it ought to be. You take all of His omnipotence, all of His power, all of His omniscience, all of His wisdom. You take all of His omnipresence. He's everywhere at once. Take all of His veracity. He's truth and He cannot lie. Take all of His immutability. Never has changed and He's not going to start changing now. Take all of what God is, at His mercy, at His grace, at His love, blend it together and you get an inkling of the glory of God. I want to know it. I want to know it better. I want to see that glory someday. Oh, the hunger, obviously, the hunger in this psalmist's heart is all Elijah. Oh, he's in bad shape. He's running from Jezebel. He's about as discouraged. And God takes him out to the mountain. He wants to see God's glory. And said, come by. There's a great and strong wind. But God wasn't in the wind. And said, and there come an earthquake. But God wasn't in the earthquake. Said, didn't there come a blazing fire? But God wasn't in the fire. And then there came, I'll need an amen, a still small voice. And God was in the voice. Hey. God's glory. Lord, I want to see thy power and thy glory. God's glory to you. It might be a dramatic experience. Can I say this? It might be a quiet experience. Still small voice. I appreciate everything about Dr. Percy Ray and his testimony about God's glory. Dr. J. Harold Smith, testimony about great men of God. I say, but I'll tell you what. I have been driving to a revival meeting before, just by myself. That little black car going up the road. And I don't know how to describe it. It is like God, the Holy Ghost, jumped in that car with me. And it's like He put His arm around me. He got to loving on me. And I think of the words of that song. And He walks with me. And He talks with me. And He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, I think none other. Do you all know what I'm talking about? Or almost in to a measure what I'm experiencing. If I were sitting where y'all are right now, I'd be getting restless. Don't say nothing out of order, but my bottom would be getting sore. I'd be thinking, when is this going to get over? And I respect that, and I'm trying to taper the sermon off. But I just want to say, if you were up here, if you knew, God's been feeding me one thought after another. God's been giving me inside. It is so sweet. I see it hit somebody back under, somebody over there. It's like throwing sticks of dynamite all over this building. Some of them got long fuses. Some of them got short fuses. But all boom, boom, boom. Boom! It goes off all over the place. That's the power of the Word of God. That's the power of the glory of God. Oh, Lord, show us Your glory. Doesn't have to be loud. Doesn't have to be big. But it does have to be real. And He can show up in some of the strangest, most unusual places. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1, arise, it's Israel nonetheless, arise, shine, the light is come. Listen, and the glory of the Lord is on you. And the glory of the Lord is on you. Could I make an announcement? I want God's hand on me. I want God's glory on me. I want God's touch on me. That's what Nehemiah, Lord, let your hand be on me for good. And God met that man's name, Ichabod. Everybody in the building, Ichabod. It means no glory. The glory of God has departed. Can you go 5 more minutes? Kabod. It's the word glory. Fine time to get to it, isn't it? K-A-B-O-D. Kabod. What does it mean? Glory. Honor. But here's the root word. Something that's real heavy. Now, I want you to listen to that. Something that's real heavy. I don't understand that. How can that end up being? If God is the God of glory, He wants to be in your life. Hope I get an amen. He'll weigh real heavy on your thoughts. He'll weigh real heavy on your decisions. He'll weigh real heavy on how you feel about things. The heaviness of the glory of God. That's the grammar of the word. Oh, I've got to do this. Stick it in real quick. If we go from the Old Testament to the New, we go from kabod to the word doxa. D-O-X-A. God's glory. When we sing the doxology, we're singing glory. Praise Father, Son, to God. Doxa. It comes from the verb dokeo. Here's doxa, New Testament style. Dokeo means to think, to seem, to evaluate, to calculate. This is how you can show God His glory tonight. You tell Him, I'll need an amen, what you think of Him. You tell Him how you evaluate Him. Brother Stacy, you tell Him what He means to you down in your heart. And down, you go home tonight telling Him He's the most precious. You go home tonight telling Him you can't, you are bringing glory to see Thy power and to see Thy glory. Can't preach it. Where in the world am I going to see His power? Where am I most likely to see His glory? A good amen place in the sanctuary, down at God's house. David is running from his son. He's probably been gone for the temple only a few days, but it's tearing him up. He said, God, I'm missing seeing your power. I'm craving seeing your glory like I see at the sanctuary, like I see it. God said, I'm going to close. It's a good idea to go to church. Amen. Get a glimpse of the goodness and the glory of God. What David experienced at the temple got him through the desert. Let me say that again. What he experienced at God's house got him through the desert. He had seen God's power. He had seen God's glory. He merely needed a repeat. I'm done with this. I preached for him several years. He's now dead with the Lord. Pastored a Baptist church in LaGrange, Georgia. I remember they've rebuilt, far outgrown. His son pastors there now. Walk up on the front porch of that church, the map. Never will forget it. 4 words. See if you get it. Do it again, Lord. You didn't get it. Do it again, Lord. Sort of what, God, I saw your power and your glory down at your house. I saw your power when the priests were giving the sacrifice. I saw your power as your people came in worship. God, would you do it again in the wilderness? Would you? Hey, he got on the mountain. God's house elevated. He got on the mountain. What got him through the valley? Hallelujah. Power and the glory of an almighty God. Let's stand with our heads bowed and with our eyes closed, if you will, please. Musicians are coming.